This program is solely intended for your viewing pleasure.
Hello and welcome to the Gems of Wrestling podcast. We are halfway through our Saturday night's main event chronology.
Is that it?
Only halfway?
Oh.
Wait, how many episodes are there?
Eight. This is number five, so we have just tipped from the halfway mark. Let's just say every show has been gimmicks, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've had...
And today is no different. Yay!
I don't think I've got a name for this one. I mean, we had rock and wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking about this.
Yeah. Then we had romance and wrestling.
Yeah.
We had trick or treat.
Yeah.
Then slip and slide.
Yeah.
What's this one going to be?
Shambles.
Rock and sock.
No. Rock and sock'em.
Do you know what, actually, I watched some of WrestleMania 2 because of this episode.
I messaged you both and said that the challenge for this episode, you need to brush up on your WrestleMania 2 knowledge.
The one's going to win then, isn't
it? No, because I can't remember any of it.
This was weeks and weeks ago when we first came to doing it, so
I'm a fan. I know what happens.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not a fan then.
You've watched it though, so it's even keel, really. You're a fan but didn't watch it. You're not a fan but you did watch it. Wow.
Liam's going to win.
Yeah, basically, Liam's got the Hall of Fame this week.
If you couldn't guess, I am joined by the Davey Boy Smith.
Ooh.
And Dynamite Kid.
I like that.
I'm disappointed that he's Dynamite Kid, but whatever. But yes. I guess I'm the bigger one.
That's it, yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
So you're dead and I'm in the wheelchair.
Oh,
yeah.
Put it down on
it. Cut that.
So
that wasn't nearly as funny as I wanted it to be.
I laughed.
It's staying in. Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
You laughed inside.
To my Captain Lou Albano, it's Rusty Pudding.
Oh, hello. You've got such a thing for Lou Albano at the moment.
I am.
Yeah, right.
Anyone who's been like keeping up with us on Facebook will understand.
Yeah.
And the guy that won't shut up is Mr. No Gimmicks Needed.
Don't need no gimmicks.
Thank you.
My gimmick is I talk a lot.
You do, no, that's fine.
You know what this is? No, like, it's the fact I'm really tired and I'm on my second Red Bull.
Jesus Christ. Well, go on, tell us about the Lou Albano mystery.
Flemald had been on Facebook trying to dig up some information, as you'd somehow managed to get some kind of mystical number of titles he'd won,
yes.
Or managed to win, managed, yes. Teams into winning, and you was trying to pick up on a few ones that you couldn't find.
Yep.
And you got some pretty good feedback.
I did, but with that pretty good feedback, I got no correct answers.
Oh.
So
I only kind of half watched it.
Thanks for trying.
Yeah, I only kind of half kept up with it. But have you included the single titles as well, or is it just
the tag titles? No, it did just say 15 tag teams. He managed to championship gold. A guy called Joe Saponara, shout out to that guy. He watched Tuesday Night Titans for us.
Really?
Yeah. To try and find, he remembered as a kid seeing them name every tag team that he managed. So he was watching all these episodes on the network to try and find this bit where it happened.
What a legend.
So no more really to say about Lou Albano mystery. I'm still trying to figure it out. I got to 13 teams, 17 different reigns, but the WWE still insists it's 15 tag teams.
Did you put David Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid in it?
Yes, I did.
I'm just making sure.
Yes, I did. I was very thorough in my research. Let's recap the current champions as of this date in 1986. The WWF champion is...
Hulk Hogan.
Correct. The Intercontinental belt has changed hands. On February 5th...
Please tell me. Is it what I want it to be?
Macho Man Randy Savage...
Yes.
...has claimed his first piece of gold by defeating Tito Santana in a house show. Yep, in Boston, he used that object in his trunks again, the brass knuckles or whatever.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And he won by cheating.
Yep.
You put that in our chat, didn't you? We already knew this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the picture now of the, you know, pulling this thing out of the pants.
Yeah, well, I'll put it in the...
Have I been in like a coma for like 2 weeks?
Yes, you have.
Yes, actually.
Yes.
Right, we're just going to make a point here. We are quite behind on our schedule. Because basically, Rusty Pudding dropped off the face of the earth and decided never to talk to anybody ever. So yes, Rusty Pudding.
I'm elusive.
You obviously have been in a fucking coma because we've been trying to get a hold of you for the last 2 weeks.
I'm here now. The gang's back together. Pass and dunk back together.
No, you've been replaced.
What?
Am I the...
what?
Look on his face there.
Am I the Dan Spivey in this US Express? Because that ain't going to work.
No, you can still be.
Of course I'll pass.
Yeah.
Speaking of pass and dunk, the tag team champions are the Dream Team, although they are defending the belts tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Against the British Bulldogs.
Yeah.
The women's belt is still held by the Spider Lady, although she is now just known as Fabulous Moolah.
Well, didn't she take her mask off literally the second she won it?
Yes, she did. So instantly she was known as Moolah. And the Glamour Girls still reign over the women's tag division, but we no longer have a Canadian heavyweight champion.
I quit. I'm done now.
Oh,
podcast
yeah,
over.
I forgot this was coming to an end.
Podcast over. Done.
Oh, no, because we brought this up during the defunct belts.
Yes, we
about
did.
It ending, and I said...
I've now remembered, yeah.
During our...
Do you want to know why it ended?
Because he never fucking defended it, ever.
What happened was he was brought in, he was supposed to have a match with Hulk Hogan. Dina Bravo was a face. I didn't realise this, but he was a baby face at this point. Supposed to be face versus face, champion versus champion, versus Hogan in Montreal, which of course is a Canadian city.
Mm.
Hogan feared that he would get booed.
He would, yeah.
So he vetoed the whole idea.
Oh, fucking Hogan, man.
Fucking hell, Hogan.
So Dino Bravo quit in protest.
Fucking Hogan, man. What an arsehole.
In them days, that would have been a shitload of money for Dino Bravo, and he wasn't going
to
get it.
Well, like I said, that would have been his career match.
I think that's the worst thing he's ever done in his career.
Who, Hogan?
Yeah. Worse than the racism and the sex tape.
Did you just wink at me? Saturday night at Today we are reviewing episode 5 with yet another gimmick match to add to the flag match, Kung Fu Challenge, the peace match, all that other shit.
I forgot the Kung Fu Challenge is a thing.
At the end of this whole Saturday night bullshit, right, I want us to rank our favourite gimmick matches throughout the whole series.
Okay, yeah.
From least favourite to favourite.
There's plenty of them, so yeah, sounds good to me.
And whoever's in the favourite... The winner of that match goes into a Hall of Fame.
Oh my god.
Mate, I'm great at coming up with these Hall of Fame ideas.
Oh no.
So
whoever wins, imagine if it's the Kung Fu Challenge.
I reckon it could be this one.
Well, this one is a boxing match, so it's a little bit more cut and dry than the others. It's Bob Orton versus...
Mr. T.
The returning Mr. T.
B.A. Baracus. Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang, yeah. I think they do call him Clubber Lang.
They do.
They make reference to the Rocky... movie when they're doing match interview kind of thing.
Oh,
it's all right, shambles.
It is, isn't it?
Because especially at some point they say to him, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but they say to him, oh yeah, in a Rocky film, and he's like, yeah, but that's just the movie. I was paid to like take a dive. It's like, no, you was paid to act.
<That's, yeah. laughs>
You're paid to take a dive. You was paid to act a film. You know,
he
when
says that this is real, you know, and I was like, "Well, no, it's not. Yeah, it's not real."
You know, when Apollo Creed died, he took a dive. Spoilers for Rocky, by the way.
sorry guys,
if you like not watched that.
If you haven't watched Rocky 4, if you're only up to Rocky 3, what a treat that will be in store for the 10.0 rating. That's what this show got.
That's quite high, though.
It's quite high, yeah. They were looking forward to the boxing match, of course.
Yeah, it's Mr. T, hasn't it? He's got some fans in.
He has, yeah. It's obvious.
It was massive in the 80s.
They watched this on the 1st of March 1986 after it was recorded on the 15th of February. So another big gap.
Over 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus.
Wow.
Would have been some spoilers there, surely.
No, not back then.
No.
No internet back then, was it?
That's the thing. You don't have the same kind of exposure.
12,000 people were in attendance at the Arizona Veterans Hall in Phoenix, Arizona.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, and they were treated to some hidden gems.
Oh, dark matches, I forgot about these.
We love dark matches.
Well,
depends.
We like dark matches.
Well,
we tolerate dark matches.
Yeah, that's fair.
We talk about them.
Yeah.
The first dark match was Pedro Morales, a former WWF champion and the first Triple Crown winner. He faced the second Triple Crown winner. Do we know who this is?
I haven't a clue.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. He became a Triple Crown winner in 1990...
Shawn Michaels.
No, 1992.
Okay.
When he beat Ric Flair for the heavyweight title.
Bret Hart.
Correct.
I was going to say Bret Hart, and I thought...
Bret Hart was in a dark match, and we didn't see it. I was sick.
Yeah.
Jace, you do get the idea of a dark match, don't you?
What?
Yep, so it was Pedro Morales versus Bret Hart.
That sounds like a decent match.
Yeah, it would be.
Like Bret Hart, isn't it? Young Bret Hart.
He's going to have a good match. But obviously,
I bet you know, I bet about him, he's still a bit spotty. I don't mean like physically. I mean like you know, in his rings. I bet he hasn't got his like form.
Okay, let's talk about a guy called Sivi Afi. Do you know anything about him?
Is he Samoan? Afi? That sounds Samoan,
man. Yeah, I think he was. He's definitely an islander, if that is a politically correct term. I don't know.
No, I think it is.
Yeah,
I think it is.
He's from the Pacific Islands.
Yeah.
Well, he was brought in to be the new Jimmy Snuka, who, of course, had...
killed his wife.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it's quite heavy, yeah.
Well, he did.
He did, yeah. Jimmy Snuka would have been one of the top stars in wrestling if he hadn't have killed his wife. But the WWF kind of...
covered it up.
I'm not saying that.
No, we're not saying allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay, so let's just say the whole killing his wife only came out like 2 years ago.
Exactly.
So,
after it happened.
But he did it in the 80s.
Like 84.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to push him too hard because if that all came out, it'd look bad on them. So they tried to replace him with Sivi Afi, literally calling him Superfly Sivi Afi.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, he defeated Rene Goulet. He was brought into the Islanders tag team. He was going to be their chieftain.
I know what chieftain is because I played Civilization.
Yeah.
And that, on the rankings of difficulty, is the second to easiest.
Oh, is it?
I thought he was going to say, I played as...
the like, Samoans.
Kamehameha, and I knew...
No.
Yeah. No. Okay.
No.
Well, is there like a village leader?
Yes, kind of. Yeah, so basically he was going to be the manager, but what happened was he went all out with a gimmick. I don't know how much you know about Chief Tans, but...
killed his wife. he got too deep. Like, I'll be like Jimmy Snuka. He's like, oh, okay, I'll be like Jimmy Snuka. I've killed my wife.
For fuck's sake, Jason.
That is not what I mean. What I mean is he got too involved in the Chief Tan gimmick.
Okay.
And what they do, the Rock's kind of got the full tribal tattoo on his arm, his chest.
It does, they're cool, don't they?
It does, and Peter Maivia, Rock's granddad, he had it.
Yeah.
What they usually do is they have their knees to their, like, belly.
Yeah,
fully,
okay.
Fully tattooed.
Yeah, I know what you're about, yeah.
He had that done legitimately. Oh. Legitimately had all that tattooed.
This is back in the 80s when wrestlers didn't have tattoos.
No, but he did, he went whole hog with it.
Why not?
Yeah. A few months later, literally months, Tama left the WWF and Haku turned into King Haku to replace Harley Race, who had gotten injured, so he was left with no tag team to manage. A couple of weeks later, WWF got rid of him.
Aww.
So he'd spent his all that time and effort, and he had his legs. I mean, how painful must that be?
And it's not tattoos as you know it, them kind of tattoos. They do it with like a stick.
Exactly.
Like the tattooist
film
kind of thing where he's got almost like a fork and
Yeah, that's how they do it. Yeah, that's how The Rock did it.
Exactly, yeah.
It could take weeks and weeks to get done.
So he had that done for this gimmick and then I don't even think he appeared on TV with it.
I don't know who he is, so no. I've never seen him, so what a poor bastard.
Poor bastard. Next match we had Terry Funk defeat Jose Luis Rivera, so Funk's dropped from the main of from the title match to the dark match.
Yeah. It makes sense.
It seems to flip between the two.
It does. It makes sense for Funk to do that, yeah.
Yeah, just keep him out of the way
it's
for a
Funk,
while.
Funk, isn't it? I think he's still doing it now. He's probably still wrestling dark matches in WWE.
Oh, really? finally, Hercules. He beats Special Delivery Jones. I've got no postal puns this week.
No, what? His gimmick is not that he's Hercules. He's Mexican. Please tell me he's actually Mexican and he doesn't look like Hercules, as in the Greek god.
No, no, he does. He has a good body. He has a good physique.
All right, why don't you marry him then? And then kill him.
He's like... We open with Mr. T going to town on a boxing bag. That doesn't make sense.
Punching bag.
Punching bag. I'm leaving it in. I'm not going
to... It's a heavy bag, but yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
He used to box. Did you used to box? Yeah, you can't box eggs.
That's really good, actually.
I was going to make another Jimmy Snooker joke, but I didn't. I did really well not to.
He's a hot topic for this episode. He's not even in it.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, Mean Gene wants an interview, and Mr. T says, "Fool," talks fast. He says, "Fool again. He's not fighting Autumn, but going to war. When T's done with Orton, he'll look like Mean Gene."
War roast.
Yeah, yes. That was actually a really good roast. I was like, oh, sick burn. Sick burn right there.
Yeah, it's not necessary, is it? From the baby face like that, evening.
Like Gene just looks quite hurt. And like,
oh, what?
We've just said that. Yeah.
Title cards. Vince announces two title matches. We have the Dream Team defending against the Bulldogs and Hogan defending against Don Morocco. Jesse is glad that Hogan is taking on someone who isn't waiting for Social Security. Is that a dig at Terry Funk?
Oh, yeah, it totally is. Because he's old.
Exactly, and he was the last challenger for the title.
Honestly, I've missed Jesse so much. Oh, yeah. I love Jesse.
Also, we will have Hulk Hogan's music video.
Oh yeah.
So looking forward to that one. Can I just say, right, Real American gets, was it three plays in this one show?
That the first time it's legitimately used on the night. Yeah,
yeah. No dubbing.
Bundy is going to take on Southwest favourite Steve Gatorwolf. Going to see his debut.
Yeah.
Gatorwolf.
Woo! We have Adonis versus JYD, and of course, Mr. T versus Bob Orton in that boxing match.
Can't JYD be relegated to dark matches and we get Terry Funk back?
Yeah, please.
Maybe one day.
Or even, like, George General Steele. I'd rather have him than JYD.
We flash back to Hogan on Piper's Pit, where we hear that Orton has an open contract to box anybody. Why would you have that as an open contract?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Also, so, in that... flashback.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan writes down the name Mr. T.
Yeah.
And then Piper goes, "Oh, Mr. T. How long did it take Hulk Hogan to write Mr. T?" Three letters. It took him, he was down there for like 30 seconds writing Mr. T.
He might have been writing B.A. Baracus or Club Alang.
Club Alang, Mr. T.
Who knows?
Maybe just doing all his aliases just in case, you know, he didn't get it the first time around.
Yeah, you don't know which one's his legal signature. So,
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of which, isn't he signing the name or is he just writing the name? Because if he's signing it, then that is not legally bound.
Yeah, do you think it's a T
do? Do you reckon...
He's like, sorry. Watch the telly, he's like, what?
I call him fool.
Do you reckon they just gave him, like, an empty pen and already had it on the paper?
Well, just in case we're going to write it.
Don't spoil the illusion.
It would make sense.
Roddy Piper gets a promo. He has a paper clipping of Mr. T with Boy George, and he doesn't believe that's the kind of man that kids should look up to.
Yeah, see, I'll tell you, they hate the gays in the 80s.
They do, yeah, that is blatant, isn't
it? Yeah, like, anybody Boy George was big in America, to be fair.
No, I
didn't realise they'd get that reference.
Yeah,
so,
apparently
they would. Well, I was going to say George Michael, but he wasn't gay at that time, was he?
No, he was still pretending.
I mean, he was gay, but he wasn't out.
No, but he was still pretending.
Yeah. What about Elton John? Should have said Elton John.
Oh, that would have been better.
But I guess he wasn't in the picture.
No. Yeah, it's quite a crucial part of it.
Yeah, a picture of...
So, yeah, and also, did you notice... Criteria, must be gay and must be in that picture.
Did you also notice in the picture, though, top left was a square of Mr. T, and then the rest of the picture was Boy George. So it might not even be in the same article.
Oh, no.
It could be a completely different article.
I didn't really look. Yeah, I didn't pay attention. I just picked up on the homophobic comments of Roddy Piper.
Yeah, he looked out his head again.
Yes. He,
fucking hell.
He claimed this isn't Rocky 148, and Piper pities the fool.
I did like that.
I did kind of like that, yeah.
Like that.
Mr. T is having his fist taped before the match. He does have another flashback to, I'm guessing, after he's calmed down from picking on Gene.
Yeah, after he's beaten that guy up in the ring, apparently.
Yeah. Absolutely smashes his helmet off.
I mean, that's a legal to do in boxing. Exactly. You can't hit him when you're on the floor. It's not MMA.
He says that Rocky III was just a movie. He took a dive for the money.
Took a dive?
Why? No, you're acting. You've got paid.
Well, acting's a very loose term, but, you know, he was on
he
camera.
He appeared in the film. Yeah.
But this is real.
It's not real.
I love the kayfabe, though, the fact that...
Yeah, it's still strong in the 80s, isn't it, kayfabe?
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Piper couldn't deal with T last year, so he sent his friend out battling Bob Orton.
When did Bob Orton get the name Battling Bob Orton? Because he was just Cowboy Bob Orton.
Yeah.
Because
he's lost the cast. Thought this is worth mentioning.
Oh, yeah. You don't have the cast on for this, does
he? So he's now not a cowboy.
This is the first
he must have a cast
time,
to be a cowboy.
The first time in, what, nearly a year that we see him on camera without a cast. Yeah. I guess I'm all right.
Mr. T enters to Real American with a full entourage, and it's a big fight feel, I felt, anyway.
It did feel like it.
It was like, oh shit, something special's happening here.
Yeah.
It definitely felt like a one-off.
To start with, anyway.
Yeah.
Piper's in the ring with Orton. He wipes the sweat off Orton's head and rubs it in T's face. Just
a bit gross.
Yeah, a bit gross.
I like what Jesse says, though, about Mr. T.
What's that?
Saying, at least he's not wearing that candy-striped dressing gown now. Because Mr. T was wearing the red and white striped one, wasn't he, before? He was like, oh, at least he's not wearing that stupid candy striped one. I'm like, Jesse, have you seen what you wear every episode?
I'm not having you make fun
of
Jesse.
I'm not making fun of Jesse. I'm calling him a hypocrite.
True, yeah. We're not saying he dresses badly.
I'm just saying he can't mock other people for dressing badly.
The referee is distracted by Piper and Orton Titanics. Got that in there. Mm-hmm. As Mr. T is saying his prayers, and I presume he's already taken his vitamins.
You little dog.
Got that in there, didn't I?
You little bitch.
So, what to say about it? It's boxing. They're boxing,
kind of. We're not boxing commentators, so we don't really understand.
Well, it's...
I watch a bit of boxing.
Yeah. It's bad wrestling. It's worse boxing.
Yeah, these people are like proper boxers.
Because,
yeah. He's got a bit of like training in it because he had to for the film.
Yeah, but...
That's not it.
And the thing is, they're not going for a knockout punch, are they? Obviously, they're just getting through the first round to get to the second round where shit's going to happen. All planned out, and it just looks a bit shit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Although Bob Orton does kind of have the upper hand. Now, I didn't know, do you think Bob Orton genuinely had the upper hand? Like, he was throwing these punches like, I could knock you out if I wanted to.
You think?
I think
he actually could.
The first round, they had like free reign, that's how I feel. Like, obviously, don't knock each other out. Just throw some punches, make it look good.
Well, Orton's known as one of them guys backstage who was, like, proper hard.
Double tough, yeah.
Double tough.
That doesn't make sense.
That does make sense, because he's tough on show, but then he's tough as well. Backstage.
Exactly.
So he's double tough.
Actually fucking hard.
He's one of them.
But we get to the end of the first round, and is there a thumb to the eye?
Oh, yeah, the thumb to the eye.
How does he put a thumb in his eye?
That's a very good point, yeah. It's a difficult skill.
With a glove on it, you're like, oh, that's nice. Thanks for pillowing my head.
An eyebrow pillow. Yeah, it's comfy.
But then he said his eye was swollen shut. Oh, he just had his eye closed.
He had his eye closed.
And the jaw's roasted him again. He's like, oh, he looks better like that. It's like, come on, Ventura, man. Just give someone a break.
Let one go.
No, never.
Yeah, the trainers come in, check on him, and like you say, Vince claims it's swollen shut, but nah, it's just closing his eye. T begins slugging with Orton again, and he ends the round quite strong. The ref is pushing T back, and Orton swings an overhand right as a cheap shot. Round two, and Orton is looking cocky now. He's doing like little dances.
Yeah, doing a little handshake thing.
Like a little wind up.
Fucking fantastic. I think Bob Orton has gone right up in my estimation.
Oh, I've always liked him, but yeah, this series is pushing for me.
Exactly. We get to see him in his prime.
In his element.
Mm. Yeah.
As he's doing this, though, he's looking back at Roddy Piper and kind of going, yeah, look, I've got him. Look, we're all good. And Mr. T throws a, I want to say a left, but I've lost my place. A strong left hand. Piper jumps onto the apron to distract the ref, and Orton knees Mr. T in the gut. The ref turns around and he sees Orton on top of Mr. T, but ignores them and runs to the trainers in the corner. Why does he do that?
Because he's wrestling. Not
he's
sure.
Like, yeah,
wrestling
okay.
Logic. Yeah.
So Mr. T's on the floor. I could count to 10. Orton's on top of him. I probably should
take
stop
him
that.
Off him, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm going to run to the trainers anyway. Orton holds on to T while Piper swings, but misses, and he hits Orton. Mr. T then nails Piper with a right and then a left to Orton, who goes over the top rope. Piper pushes Orton back in the ring, but it's too late. The ref has counted 10. Count out in a boxing match? Yeah, well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, well, in all fairness,
well.
Boxers don't really get knocked out of the ring in boxing.
No.
That very rarely happens.
Mm. I don't know. Has it ever?
It probably has. Yeah, it
but
probably has.
Like
but
a knockout and they've fallen through the ropes.
Yeah, I suppose,
possibly.
Yeah.
Count out, 5 minutes, 2 seconds. Mr. T wins. Piper comes in, he takes his shirt off and spits a massive loogie at
Mr.
T.
Proper go for it.
Oh, he really didn't like T.
No, I can't believe, yeah, but WWE knew this. Mm. Why do they keep them fighting each other?
That's it, yeah. Yeah, they didn't like each other last year, but let's make them have a, you know, have a boxing match this
like,
year.
Like, genuinely didn't like each other or just
hated.
Piper hated Mr. T.
Yeah.
Why?
Didn't Piper hate the whole celebrity thing?
Yeah, he didn't think he should be involved in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Or coming to the wrestling world. He didn't believe Mr. T respected wrestling, which he, obviously is a big deal to Piper.
Back in the day it was a big deal, wasn't it?
Piper is shadow boxing and suckers T in as Orton Titanics again. Orton has his gloves off now and T is going to wish he was back on the A-team. Says Jesse Ventura.
Fucking Jesse, man.
Piper whips T with a belt as Orton holds him down and they fend off the trainers until they have their satisfaction and just leave.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Proud of themselves. T recovers and he's furious. Yeah. Mm. Big disappointment.
Well,
that whole segment.
I never like these kind of matches. I don't like... I pay to see wrestling. I don't pay to see boxing or the Brawl for All or a sumo wrestler. I don't pay for that.
No.
I pay for wrestling.
Yeah. And that's what we want.
Yeah. If I want to watch boxing, I'd watch boxing.
Exactly.
I don't want to watch a fucking combination of both.
No. We come back to Mr. T getting another promo with Gene. He's all right, but he's very mad. When he was 6, his mother hit him, and that was his last whooping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last time I got whooped with my mama. That was it.
That's exactly what
that was
it. Yeah. T is finished with Orton, but now he wants Piper. WrestleMania match in the making.
Mm.
Anything to say before we move on?
Let's move on.
I want Hogan!
Wait a minute, Bobby the Brain Heenan, I don't know if your man understands or not, but he is not fighting Hulk Hogan tonight.
Let me tell you something, he knows exactly what he's doing, dimwit. King Kong Bundy's ready. He's ready to fight anybody you want to put in the ring. Just let Hogan get into the ring. Let him put the title on the line. We're ready for a shot at him right now. Why do you think we came to this?
Mean Gene is with Bobby Heenan and King Kong Bundy, who is ready to take the belt from Hogan, he says.
Yeah, carry on, sorry.
He just wants Hogan, but he's ready to face anyone, including...
I want Hogan!
Yeah.
For fuck's sake, it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, but I genuinely think King Kong Bundy was told that he was going to wrestle Hulk Hogan because he seems to think that he is. And then like, Mean Gene's like, "You're not wrestling tonight."
No,
and King Kong Bundy's like, "What?"
Yeah, okay, I'll face anyone.
Yeah, I think he thought he was actually going for the belt tonight.
Yeah, nope, he's not.
He's like, "No, you're actually in a terrible match."
Yeah, you're going to
terrible squash match.
Steve Gatorwolf. Gatorwolf is in the ring. The whole story is building to WrestleMania, isn't it? You know, it's just a squash match to show how tough Bundy is.
Yeah.
How big of a challenge is going to be for Hogan. Jesse thinks Bundy is very handsome, but Vince correctly calls Ventura's taste as absurd. His taste is absurd.
Yeah.
Is it?
Do you not think?
What, Ventura's taste absurd?
Yeah.
Nah, he's alright.
Although Thundy is actually a handsome man.
Yeah, he's alright, babe.
Thundy is. Bundy's not.
Is Bundy still alive?
Yeah.
Wow.
You weren't expecting that, was you?
No.
You were like genuinely surprised.
Yeah, only because he's like, he's an 80s wrestler who's really fat.
Yeah.
Like shit.
Bundy pummels the jobber. He chops him, the Irish whips him, and he hits the Atlantic City Avalanche. Which is just a normal avalanche. He gets a three count, but Bundy insists on a five count.
I like that. Mm. I was kind of into that. I was like, good.
Yeah,
yeah,
cool. It makes sense.
It's one, cool. Two, and three. He's like, no.
More counts.
Four, five.
I mean, I don't know why the referee obliged.
Yeah.
You know, the referee's job's done now. Exactly. He can just leave.
Yeah, get out.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was expecting like a proper technical match. Moonsaults and like, you know, yeah. Submissions everywhere, but nah.
No, didn't get it. Chain wrestling. We got 41 seconds of that action, and Bundy gets on the mic to challenge Hulk Hogan again. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Bundy will have to wait, as we
I'm
already
going
have.
For you, Hogan.
We already have a number one contender. Speaking of which, that match is next.
Ooh.
Mean Gene interviews the Magnificent Morocco. He claims he isn't agitated, but Fuji does have the flu and he will not be in The Rock's corner. Of course, he's Don The Rock Morocco before he says anything.
And what racist thing does Mean Gene say?
My manager, Mr. Fuji, has suddenly come down with a case of the flu. And you know what? You know what? I think that geek Hulk Hogan's behind it.
Well, I can imagine it's probably a case of the Asian flu. Wait a minute now, Don Morocco.
You're
sir,
a million laughs.
Hong Kong flu, what?
Morocco believes Hogan is behind it. How?
Gave him the Asian flu.
How is that possible? Fuji has found a replacement manager, though, and it's Bobby Heenan. Fuji is seen in the back with a hot water bottle on his head and an ice pack on top of his hat.
It's like, oh, I've got an ice pack on my head, but you weren't a hat.
Yeah.
So you're going to have no benefit of that ice pack.
Yeah. You're not going to feel the ice. Hogan now has a promo. He's ready, but something fishy's going on about Heenan and Fuji. The Hulkamaniacs will be keeping an eye out. So it's kind of like pantomime. Like, they're going to be in the crowd. He's behind you.
Oh, no, he isn't.
Oh, fucking awful.
Oh.
What's Hogan on about?
Fucking Hogan, man.
Oh, Gene says that Heenan is a source of distraction, and Hogan adds little by saying he can mess your concentration up. Well, yeah, that's the definition of a distraction. Duh.
Fucking Hogan.
The doy.
Fucking Hogan. So we get the undubbed Real American, we get a reminder of the music video premiere coming up, and Morocco is already in the ring. Morocco looks in a lot better shape now. He seems to have shifted some Christmas weight, although he confuses me because he does still look muscular but fat at the same time. I don't know what he is.
It looks like that kind of like World's Strongest Man sort of body where they're like, yes. They're fat but they're actually strong as balls.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's nail on the head, that. Do you like him
I
as
like
a wrestler?
Him. I think you know what, right? I do like him. I didn't think I did.
Yeah.
But he seems to... I don't know, I was captivated by him, because he's a big guy.
He does move quite well for a big guy as well, doesn't he?
No, I liked him, he was alright.
Yeah, fuck it, we like Don Morocco.
Hall of Fame.
Morocco makes a hot start, and he back rakes Hulk Hogan. He's going to take the suntan off the back, says Jesse.
Fucking love Jesse.
That was a real Pearl Harbor job.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah. Reversed Irish whip and a back body drop from Hogan, and we return the scratching. Jesse calls it out and says he shouldn't be doing that. Vince defends it, of course, and Jesse says that at least Don Morocco cut his nails.
It's them things that Jesse just says. Like, a lot of times, I just don't pick up on him anymore.
Yeah.
He just slips things in, I'm like, oh, Jesse just hit something now.
Yeah, and it's just like little brilliant touches, but yeah. Hogan knocks Heenan off the apron, and he's well in control with the match with an atomic drop, which sends Morocco over the top rope to the outside.
I mean, I don't know how that physically
How
makes
does
sense.
An atomic drop send someone to the outside?
Wait!
It's like a spring action, isn't
Whoa.
It?
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Unless you've got a spring in your knee, maybe.
Yeah, it's Hogan.
Inspector Gadget style.
Ba-doing! No.
Hogan joins him on the outside and he breaks the count just so he can go back out and throw Morocco in. Bear hug from Hogan, and Morocco escapes with a headbutt, and both men are hurting. A leg drop from Morocco and a knee drop for a two count. He then does the Asian spike to the throat and two knee lifts. Do you like the Asian spike?
No. Umaga did it.
Yeah.
It was a Samoa spike.
Yes.
And it's shit. I don't get it.
It's like a thumb. It's like the thumb is so strong.
You know what's
going to
happen?
It's like a spike.
If I did that in your throat, you're going to go... Ah!
Yeah.
That's all you're going to do.
You're
going to go... You're not going to pass out.
That's a very good point.
He's going to go...
he's dumb. Yeah. Obviously, Fuji's taught him that because Fuji's Asian. He's not.
I think
he's from Hawaii.
Yeah, he's an islander.
Yeah. But yeah.
But amazingly, islanders can be everything.
Oh yeah.
Yoko. Jesse wants to see the reverse pile driver, and I do too. Is that just a tombstone, a reverse pile driver?
I think so, because they said it, and I was like, well, are we going to see it? Because what is it?
Yeah, I wanted to see it just so I knew what it looked like, but then when I thought about it, I was like, ah, is it just a tombstone?
I thought it'd be, like, on the back, like, so let's say, it's going to be really hard to explain.
Yeah, okay.
So let's say he's
bear
got,
with us.
Let's say he's got up for an electric chair drop.
Okay, so he's on
the
shoulders.
But then the guy at the top goes backwards. So they're back to back, and he's holding the legs, and then he just drops on his knees.
Yeah.
That could be a reverse power driver.
That could well
and
be.
Like, so his head's between his legs, but back to
backwards.
Back.
So he's like heads at his ass, isn't it?
That'd be quite cool.
Yeah.
That'd be my finisher.
That's good, yeah.
I mean, I'd probably kill some people doing that.
Yeah, he's very hard to judge. Yeah.
I don't know where they are.
Elbow drop, headbutt to the lower abdomen / dick.
yeah, let's be honest.
Laces across the eyes, which I really liked as well, like an eye rake but with the laces.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get eye rakes.
No. He just did one to himself.
It's like, stop, get off me.
Yeah, it's just a scratch, isn't it? It's not.
Ah!
You are pulling a lot of holes in this match, aren't you?
Because it's not a very good match.
I didn't mind it, to be
fair. TV, out of all the Hogan ones I've seen, I've enjoyed it the most.
Yeah, I think mostly because he was on the back.
Is that because what happens at the end?
Shh!
Yeah, don't spoil that. But yes.
Russian leg sweep that Vince calls another hold.
I'm so glad you brought it up, because I was definitely going to bring it up. I'm like, he said, oh, another hold. I'm like, side Russian leg sweep.
It's simple.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Not another hold.
It's a fucking Russian leg sweep. Get it right.
It is funny to hear Vince call moves wrong.
Yeah.
He is bad at it.
It never stops being funny.
So for both our series, Series I?
Series I. It's probably not right, but I like it. So
we'll go with Vince has been the commentator on both of them.
Yeah.
He's just terrible.
Yeah.
He's a really bad commentator.
We get a second rope Asian spike and some more headbutts for a two count. This sparks a Hulk up. We get some strikes, a big boot, and a leg drop. Hogan goes for the pin, but Heenan comes in. Stomps him.
It looks great. It's like a little fly. It's like, yeah, it runs away. It's like, oh, that's cool. I mean, I don't know what he accomplished by doing that, because the match, he still lost the match.
Exactly, yeah. It's a DQ victory for Hulk Hogan, 6 minutes and 53 seconds.
But I guess in the books it says DQ victory and not pinfall
victory. Miracle wasn't pinned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's the kind of logic behind it.
And it could lead to a rematch, because the match did end fairly.
Exactly.
Actually, that's a really good move, then.
Good booking. Good booking. Well done, Heenan.
Yeah.
Hogan lifts Heenan by the scruff of his shirt.
I want Hogan!
Bundy comes out of the blue, says Vince. As if a guy that size can come out of the blue. You know, he's fucking massive. It's not going to sneak attack anyone, is it? The cavalry, says Jesse. He attacks Hogan as Don Morocco holds the champion in the corner. Bundy hits 3 Atlantic City avalanches.
Hogan gets battered.
Finally!
Like, he absolutely gets destroyed. Yes. No one comes out to save him.
No.
Hogan doesn't get his revenge. He gets absolutely mullered.
Oh.
And I fucking love it.
Mullered? Is that a term?
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah. It is now. I fucking love that.
I've used the term mullered before.
Have you?
Yeah, is that not a word you've ever used?
No, I think of a yogurt when you say muller.
But yeah, I love the fact that Hogan's getting battered.
It's about time, isn't it?
It's almost as good as I felt when he had that match against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar battered him. I'm like, oh yeah.
Finally. When Morocco lets go, Hogan just crumbles to the mat. We get 2 big splashes with Morocco pushing Bundy down for extra impact. It's just...
It just looks great, doesn't it?
It does.
And then Hogan, like, totally oversells it at the end.
By going to hospital?
No, when he's laid there and he's like...
Oh, he's twitching. Yeah,
the twitching looks ridiculous.
Yeah. A number of wrestlers come in to help eventually as the heels are leaving. We get the Bulldogs... And Pedro Morales, so he gets some TV exposure.
Yeah.
I mean, we're into it. Yeah. But he's run out.
He's like, I
want it. I want to get on there.
The doctor is checking on Hogan's heartbeat, and they call for a gurney. Ad break.
Heartbeat, why do you miss when my baby kisses me?
Hogan is wheeled out into an ambulance and Gorilla Monsoon goes to the hospital with him. Vince asks Gene to follow. It's like, what, like on foot or what? What do you want him to do?
I must admit, though, this is a nice bit of kayfabe.
Oh, I totally agree.
A nice bit of kayfabe.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to... You know,
if I was a kid in the 80s, I would have proper bought that and be like, oh my god, is Hulk Hogan alright, mummy?
Yeah, credit where it's due.
That's right.
Credit where it's due there.
They did that, yeah, it was
That was well done, well booked.
We go from one title match to another. We have the Bulldogs challenging the Dream Team. The Bulldogs get a job as entrants, they're in the ring already. And the Dream Team make the way out as we flash back to a promo. We find out that the Brits have already beaten the champs in a non-title match. But Valentine calls them a circus act, while Beefcake calls himself and partner the toughest and best-looking team.
Who's their manager again, sorry?
Luscious Johnny Valiant.
See, because they mentioned about the match before. Yeah, but that was a non-title match. But we were just getting, like, you know, we're getting used to them. I agree with that.
Yes.
If they've we lost a non-title match. So?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to lose the title match.
Fair logic, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Gaining, like, knowledge about the opponent there, aren't they, really?
Exactly, yeah.
Like that's what he says.
Fair point. So we flash back to the power slam by Davey and diving headbutt from Dynamite that got the win in that match.
That headbutt looked sick.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
All the headbutts look sick.
They do. I've got in my notes, that match looked good.
Can't really argue with that kind of in-depth analysis.
It looked like a good...
It was good.
Sounded like Bundy's in the room.
I know, yeah.
I want Hogan!
Someday. It was a good finish to the match as well, with like the baby faces were like really scrapping to keep the heels.
Yeah, I know. I fucking looked ace. I wish I watched that.
Yeah, me too, actually. We should try and dig that up. Davey and Valentine start. We get an atomic drop, a headbutt from each of the dogs, and a two count. But Greg has his foot on the ropes.
Can you not call them the dogs?
Why?
Have a good JYD.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll distance them from that.
Call them the Brits.
Yeah.
Yeah, just call
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because then we can be patriotic about it.
Yeah, we can relate to this.
We can be proud of them. Lou Albano is, of course, the manager of the faces, and he's counteracting Johnny Valiant in the corner of the heels. We get a suplex from Davey Boy for a two, and Dynamite tags in. Double clothesline, another two after a headbutt. Valentine begs off as the ref pushes Kid away. Beefcake is in, but Kid is tenacious, and Bulldog is back in with an arm wrench and a lift. I love that move where arm wrench, lift him up. It just looks like it would. Well,
Undertaker
does,
doesn't it?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Wasn't on you all, but you did.
He did. It looks like it would really hurt.
It does look really painful.
That's why.
It takes a lot of strength from both wrestlers. That
it does.
To make it look fucking good, as like cool as fuck.
Yeah, and bounce as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
One slight movement and you're going down.
Do your wrist in easily on that.
A reverse elbow and Valentine is back in. We get a gorilla press slam and a two. It's all babyface.
Yeah.
Kid is in. They hit a double headbutt, knee drops and stomps, a back suplex, a falling headbutt for another two. Second rope knee drop and then Davey is back in. Well, the heels are just struggling, aren't they?
I noticed, Lynn, when it's a good match and you're talking about it, Me and No Gimmicks, we never interject.
No.
I'm just enjoying listening to it. I'm like, remembering the match. I'm like, oh yeah.
That happened.
This is good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what? I imagine our fans probably appreciate that as well.
Yeah, the fact that...
when it's just a good match, just hearing about it.
We like to tear apart the shit, but... Yeah.
The good,
here
we
is the good.
Fucking appreciate it.
Slugging it out, but it's strike for strike between Davey and Greg until the Bulldog hits a drop kick and a small package for two. Kid tags in and an inverted atomic drop turns the tide for the heels.
Ooh.
Beefcake tags in. For some reason, everyone goes to the outside to have a little row and managers decide to go at it. We have an ad break. Don't know why they do that, other than the fact that it's an ad break coming up. So
the referee's like whispering in their ear, it's going to be an ad break, do something.
Get outside.
Do something to stall the match, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
It makes sense. It still happens in wrestling.
That actually works because at least then you're not missing too much when you come back in.
Yeah.
Unlike some of the things that happened during the shotgun series, where like we missed like massive chunks of the match, where one person would be on top, it'd cut to a break, and then the other person would be on top, and you'd go, what the fuck happened?
I remember, I think it was the Triple H Undertaker match on shotgun. It showed us the whole match pretty much in the advert, because obviously there was an ad break. And then when he came back to it, it was like, oh, this is what you missed. And it showed us like 3 minutes of a match. Like, yeah, what?
Yeah, why couldn't you have just delayed this bit?
As a wrestling fan, I know in the adverts, what's happening is an arm lock.
Yes.
That's normally what happens. Yeah. And if anything happens, they show us like a suplex or something. You know, this is what happened in the ad break. But not, I don't want to see, I don't want to miss a whole match.
Exactly. We don't mind missing like an arm lock. Or,
yeah.
In this case, they've gone outside to have a scuffle, so the whole ad break is trying to calm it down.
Yeah.
Get it back to normal. I'm fine with that.
Imagine if you came back and someone had been put through a table.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be sick.
Yeah.
But what?
What about if it went to an ad break, the match had finished, and another one had started?
A new champion would be crowned, and then a new match had started. That'd be terrible.
How about if a title match was happening, went to an ad break, you come back, and the Money in the Bank winner had come out and won the title?
How about you're stretching this way too much and we've got an episode to do.
Okay. Keep going. Kid and Beefcake are back to square one, and a missile drop kick and a splash from Davey gets another two.
It's just...
Every time.
Yeah, I can't help but just be in awe of how technically astute those two are in the ring. Especially for like for the time as well.
Yeah.
Well, what's those two in the ring just look so fucking
good. What's interesting for me is that I've told you before I didn't like British Bulldog.
Yeah.
When I'm seeing them like this, I don't remember the shit Bulldog I hated.
Yeah.
I remember this. This is what Bulldog I wanted to see.
And this is the good Bulldog. It's
the biggest shame is what happened to Dynamite for Bulldog, I think.
Yeah.
I think that his career didn't really get anywhere after that.
He had a good singles career.
He's a tag team wrestler, though. He is. Some wrestlers are just born tag team wrestlers.
That's right.
Some can't do it by themselves.
They pushed him at certain parts, but he never succeeded
as
a singles wrestler overall because, like you say, he's a tag team guy. That's why I never really thought of him as a
tag team guy, though. And until now.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But he was with Dynamite.
But now I see him in a tag team match. I'm like, Bulldog's fucking good.
But it especially works because, I mean, they're both obviously they're big, but not like big.
Yeah, they're not they're Hogan fucking, big.
Yeah, they're kind of jacked for their kind of size. But Bulldog's quite strong and powerful, and then Dynamite's quite. You know, he'll do the stuff off the top rope, and it's just a perfect combination.
It's one of them type things where they blend so well together.
They really did. And it's easy to see why, like you say, with Bret Hart coming in, he went into dark matches. The Bulldogs came straight in as top contending tag teams. And
it's just
that's
so fucking good.
Yeah.
They didn't need that slow burn. They could get thrown right in there.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And to be fair, it's probably lucky they did, because if they didn't, we may have never seen them, because it's not far away, Dynamite's injury.
Such a shame.
Really is.
Fuck.
Beefcake fights his way out and a double stomp from the heels as Valentine tags in. He goes for a figure four leg lock.
Ooh.
Dynamite comes in and a leg drop breaks it up. So he... No shame, no hiding it. He just comes in and breaks up the submission.
That's fine. Tag teams can do that.
That's it, yeah.
I've had to explain to my housemates about the whole tag team rule.
Yeah.
And like, why don't you get disqualified? Like, there's 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, always thinking wrestling... 5 seconds.
Yes.
Whatever they're doing, 5 seconds. It might go longer than 5 seconds, but it's 5 seconds.
Exactly.
They're on the top rope, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Touching the ropes, 5 seconds. It's always 5 seconds.
In an era where we see lots of back body drops and power slams.
Slams and
It's nice to see.
I totally agree with that.
Apart from, right, atomic drops, power slams, back body drops. They're like the three staple moves of this era of wrestling.
Yeah, no, you are right.
To see other stuff like flying headbutts and figure four leg
missile drop kicks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, you're spot on with that.
Definitely. That's why this match stood out to me. It was so different from everything we've seen in this series.
It was proper wrestling.
It made me appreciate Valentine a bit more as well. I mean, Beefcake not so much. I never liked Beefcake, but was Valentine.
You're never going to like everyone.
True.
You still get the odd shit.
3 out of 4 is not bad.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Headbutts from Dynamite to Valentine and they slug it out. Vince calls an elbow to the head, a brainbuster. I don't know how he confused that.
Well, it's... Elbow. Busting his brain.
He gets a second rope elbow for a two for the heels and a shoulder breaker for another two. So now the heels have finally come into the match.
I was about to say, do we see a shoulder breaker?
We do.
I like that move.
I like the shoulder breaker as
well. Yeah, me too. Kid is in trouble now. We get vicious knees from Beefcake, a snapmare and a running stomp for another two. Valentine comes in with a falling hammer, which was a fist drop. I can't remember now.
It was a fist drop, yeah.
Yeah, fist drop. They call it falling hammer because he's Greg the Hammer.
That's fair enough.
And the two count. He goes for the figure four again, but Kid kicks him off. Valentine goes to the top and Dynamite throws him off and hits a missile dropkick for a two. Again, it's a foot on the rope that saves the match. Guillotine clothesline in another two, snap suplex, and Beefcake breaks up another two as Davey hits him with a dropkick to the outside. Kid sends Valentine into the ropes and they collide in the middle of the ring, head to head. Valentine falls on top of Dynamite. It looks like they're both out unconscious. He just has his leg covering Dynamite.
When I first saw it, right, I hated it.
Yeah.
But then after a little bit, I was like, actually, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good match.
Yeah.
They're not... They didn't,
the it's one not made, the result we wanted.
Yeah,
but well, the way I, that the other.
I'm glad they didn't win by cheating.
Yeah.
Because it would have made the Bulldogs look silly.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the Bulldogs didn't win because they're not ready for that yet.
Exactly.
So I'm happy how it ended, to be fair.
It was a good ending. It was. Yeah. And again, it's basically saying the British Bulldogs were the better team. They should have won. But by sheer bad luck.
Yeah.
They lost.
By luck or by crook.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's the first match of the series that went over 10 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it felt really long.
It didn't feel that long to me.
No, me either.
That's what good matches are like.
Exactly. They just fly by.
Yeah. But it was a good match. Yeah, really good
it
match.
Was.
I didn't realise it was over 10 minutes.
No, I didn't either.
12 minutes it was.
Wow.
12 minutes. And yeah, of course, 1-2-3. Valentine gets the win over Dynamite. Both partners come in to check on their pals, so they're not even fighting anymore. They literally come in, check on their partners, make sure they're all right. You know, the match is over, let's just make sure my partner's fine.
Good storytelling.
It is, brilliant. It's like good the match stuff. Is over, but both men are out cold. Beefcake celebrates with the belts, and Jesse says, if you're not good, then it helps to be lucky. Ad break.
It's a nail on the head there. Not that, well, no, to be fair, it's not that they're not good, but they were definitely lucky.
It was a good story, well told. Yeah.
There's been a few good stories well told this you know episode, what? I must admit.
You know what, right?
Do you know what? I'm going to stand by my bigging this up, because there is some good storytelling in this episode.
The Hulk Hogan thing was good.
Yeah.
This was good. Yeah. The boxing was...
The boxing was meh, but it leads to WrestleMania 2, so...
So far, what was the match in between the boxing and the...
Bundy and Gator Wolf, which is just a squash match.
Well, that made Bundy make sense for the way he attacked Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right, actually. Storytelling-wise. Wrestling-wise, not great, that match.
Yeah.
But storytelling-wise, pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is good. It's what you'd want, technically, on the road to WrestleMania, because this is the last Saturday night's main event before WrestleMania. Yeah. So, they are building some good stories, and I'm happy with that.
So am I.
Gene is at the hospital. Sorry, no. He's at the emergency trauma centre. And we get a cheap camera shot outside the doors.
Oh, it looks horrible. It's all right. It's a dodgy.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're not allowed in. Hogan is supposed to debut his video, but Vince will do it instead. Let's talk about Hogan's music video.
Oh, yes.
Can I please now post it on Facebook while we're doing this?
You want to do it right now?
Yeah.
As we're talking about it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that makes
sense. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I was well into it. It was so 80s.
Brilliant.
It was 80s. So poorly bad 80s.
So patriotic as well. That's what I liked about it.
Well, how did it start? It started with that speech from, was it JFK?
JFK speech. Yeah. It's not what... your country can do for you what you can do for your country.
And then we started getting little snip pictures of Baby Hulk. Baby Hulk. And then everyone with him playing the guitar, like learning guitar.
Yeah.
And then he cuts Hogan playing guitar. Not really playing guitar.
It's a good lesson though, that if you spend your time and effort learning how to play guitar, you may be good enough to pretend to play guitar in a music video.
On a terrible green screen.
Oh, fuck's sake.
It just all happens. It all happens.
Yes.
There's pictures of presidents, non-presidents, Martin Luther King's in there.
Who's the guy on the horse?
John Wayne.
John Wayne on the horse.
John Wayne's on a horse. God. Fireworks.
It is amazing.
It's just balls to the wall. Brilliant.
It is.
Why have I never seen that before?
Me neither.
The fuck?
That should be one of the moments that it's just immortalised by the WWE, but it's not.
It's not there.
It certainly should be.
It really should be.
Like Hulk Hogan was like, he was just paid to come to the studio one day.
Yeah.
Stand in front of that green screen for, I don't know, 2 minutes, strumming a guitar.
And
it was like like superimposing them in like backgrounds of like just like random places.
Every monument in America.
Hulk Hogan there,
yeah,
fucking strumming away, bam, bam, fucking bam, amazing. And he was strumming like not to the rhythm of the guitar that I could hear.
No. Just but every fucking
way. There was no cables in the guitar either, so whatever. The guitar was then little as well. I don't know why you had a smaller guitar than a normal guitar.
I have no idea.
See, I was, well, I watched it like 5 times. I rewound it and kept watching it. I showed my housemate it. He loved it.
It's fucking brilliant, isn't it? It's like you say, it's so cheesy, so patriotic, so 80s. It's fantastic.
There's all them kids touching him.
Oh, yes.
Careful.
This is weird. I'm on a motorbike and there's a kid touching me.
Yeah.
Why?
See, now that is quite a famous shot. They reuse that in a lot of the DVDs and stuff of him arriving on the motorbike and kids surrounding him. He tears up a picture of someone. Who is he tearing the picture
of? I told you, the dictator, the one who died recently. Not recently.
Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
Oh.
It was Colonel Gaddafi he stole a picture of him. Fuck,
how much more patriotic?
Because this is like the beginning of the Gulf War, wasn't it? And all that crap. So it's like, oh, Gaddafi! They showed the video of him spitting on the Soviet flag again.
Exactly,
it's like, great.
Patriotic, baby face. Oh, and at the end, he gives like a little American flag to a Hulkamaniac, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The little final touches. It's grand, all these big things that I've done, and then you end it with just a little flag.
Because he's
person.
Still humble and still an
exactly.
actual American.
He is.
He's not a superstar, he's a real American.
Yes! Yes!
It's brilliant! If, you know what, right? I think this is the first time we've ever said this. If you've not seen this, please, just YouTube it.
I'm trying to get this to work on our.
No gimmicks. Going to put it on our Facebook. Please watch the video. You will love it.
If you don't watch anything else from this episode or this series, or Gems of Wrestling,
this is it.
Please watch Hulk Hogan's Real American premiere video. Oh, it's fantastic.
I want Hogan.
I am a real American. That fucking song, man.
It's so good, isn't it?
It's up!
Bastard.
The Real American video is up. No gimmicks needed, sussed it out. But we are on to the main event of the evening. Junkyard Dog taking on adorable Adrian Adonis. Is this the first time we've seen the adorable one?
Yeah, they mentioned it in the show.
Or was he adorable in the last one?
No, they mentioned it in the show, and this is his first televised appearance.
Okay, yep, that's fine by me. Another pre-recorded promo, this time with Adonis, who doesn't have a body of an Adonis, which is a bit of an oxymoronic thing, don't you think?
Yeah, he's fat.
He's just fat, He's fat, but he's called Adrian Adonis, and obviously an Adonis is supposed to have...
a godlike body.
Yeah.
He
hates dogs, he hates flea powder. No, he likes flea powder and fire hydrants.
Wait, I love it.
Really?
I think it's fucking ace. You know what, right? It's so homophobic that it's not homophobic.
It goes so far
the homophobia that it just becomes its own entity.
It's like a parody of itself.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a parody of itself, and I love that. I think it's fine. I'm fine with it.
I'm not so fine with it. No,
that's fine. Yeah, you know what? No. This is one of the only things where I go, if you don't like it, I totally get it. Why you work don't like it,
and that's what it is for me. I just don't like the way he's portrayed. But then again, if he didn't come out and say I'm gay, I think I would have liked it more. That's where the heat is, in not knowing. Whereas when you just come out and say, oh, I'm a gay wrestler, it's
Goldust,
like...
for example.
Yeah.
Goldust never ever says, I'm gay.
Exactly.
He just wrestles and does gay things, per se.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm using gay in, like, quotation marks, because they're not acting gay at all.
What's gay?
Yeah,
really?
they're not acting gay at all. They're acting the stereotypical, I'm gay.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, it's ridiculous. It's offensive as fucking all hell.
It is. But it got over for Goldust, it got over for Adrian Street, and I just don't agree with Adonis saying, yeah, I'm gay, look how camp I am.
Yeah.
Because then you are literally saying that's
it's
a gay man, that's how
that.
He's acting.
Yeah.
The
gimmick is well overdone.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
No, yeah.
For me, it could have worked, I suppose, but it's overdone.
Mm.
They've overbaked it. It's
straight away as well.
He notices Vince's idea as well. Vince has gone, this will be funny.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all Vince has done.
Yeah. And he signs off with a very camp. He wants to do a camp rough.
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 Well, you got no gimmicks?
Not.
Rough.
Rough. Are we crossing that line?
No, we're not, because we're parodying a parody.
Yes.
That is fine.
Yeah.
Parodyception.
You know, Monty Python do that all the time, so that's fine. You know, Airplane do that all the time.
Yeah, they do.
It's fine.
Fucking that's true. Airplane.
Adonis.
Nice little nod there, mate.
Adonis is sticking his tongue out at JYD, and Dog takes Adonis over with his own purple and pink scarf.
Saying I don't like the over-the-top Adonis thing, I like JYD's little kind of mockingness of it.
That's worse for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is worse.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I kind of found it funny. I found that a little bit amusing.
Well, we can't really decide on this, because is Dog mocking the gimmick or is he mocking the gay? Which is, that's two separate entities.
Yeah.
If he's mocking the gimmick, that's fine. But if he's mocking the gays, that's not so fine.
Exactly.
Can we not refer to them as the gays, though? that sounds worse. No, that sounds patronising.
Okay. Well, no, but we're just getting the point across, and yeah. I agree with that point. And I think the fact is, JYD will never know what it's like to be a minority.
You haven't had written down, don't you? Oh, but I love you thinking about that one.
Oh, mate.
I think you started this whole podcast just for that one joke. You're like, we're going to do Saturday night because of that one
joke.
The
last fucking 20 episodes have all led to that.
You might as well switch off now, guys. It's downhill from here.
You got me with that one, though. That was
you bastard.
Fucking brilliant.
Headbutts tangle Adonis in the ropes, and he then goes over the top backwards. Did you like that? He was kind of tangled in the ropes.
Made that look good.
He looked dead exposed, like he... If it was Attitude Era wrestling, a chair would have been smashed in his face.
Yes.
That would have happened.
Yeah,
or
no way.
Stick across the back. Or something like that.
He couldn't defend himself. Yeah, it was bloody good. And Dog mocks being gay, and then he slingshots his opponent back in. I hate that spot. You know when they
pull the ropes. Because that's never going to work.
No, physically,
it's all on the guy in the ropes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's like. Yeah, he pulls the rope so Adonis does a flip. It's like, there's no momentum.
What would happen if Adonis would go, oh, my chest.
My chest, he pulled the rope at me.
Oh, all right.
Oh, sorry.
Rough.
Guys.
We're mocking the gimmick.
We get a big clothesline for a two count. Any a ringer, a pal driver position, like Dog like jumps up and stomps the mat.
I hate that move.
Yeah, an earringer.
I don't know what that's going to do.
He's fucking stupid. Adonis slaps Dog, but he's whipped into the corner for a China upside down bump. Of course, we're not calling it a flare bump. It's called a China bump now.
A China bump.
Although, what would a China bump really be?
I've seen it.
Is there a grind to go with a bump?
There's a lot of grinding.
Fuck's
sake. Make sure you rest in peace.
Genuinely rest in peace.
Yeah. What a shame.
Hart picks up. Sorry, Jimmy Hart's at ringside.
I forgot to mention.
What's going on?
I know, right? World's gone mad.
You got too sucked in by the homosexualness.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that on a podcast.
No. But Hart's there and I adore him.
He's great.
He's just the best manager.
Is he the adorable one of this team?
Oh, what a cuddling. Because in my head, right, so I see him on TV.
Yeah.
I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
I see him and I'm going... He's like 3 foot tall. That's why I like pick him up and just hold him like a child while he's like, you know, shouting things and like screaming to his megaphone. If I have a kid, he's going to dress as Jimmy Hart.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. I'm going to get him a little suit with like little notes on it. And he's going to get a little megaphone.
Piano key
tie. Yeah, I'm going to put a little beard on it.
Oh my God. Are you going to put a beard on it?
Yeah.
On it. It doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl.
I don't care.
Either way. Jimmy Hart picks up Adonis and cuddles him.
See, I've
homosexuality.
See, I'm, again, it's a very fine line. The whole like using a gay thing to distract an opponent.
Mm.
I mean, let's be fair. As straight men, if a gay guy came up to you and kissed you,
yeah,
it will be distracting as fuck.
It would.
So it's not homophobic to be
no
disgusted or distracted by a gay guy kissing you, is it?
No. Would you be more distracted by a straight guy kissing you or a gay guy kissing you?
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting topic, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
Well,
maybe a topic for another time.
I don't know. I don't know. Well, because surely if the gay guy's doing it, it's because, maybe not to say he's attracted to me, but he's attracted to men anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight guy's doing it to, for banter, isn't it?
Yeah,
balance,
true.
Top balance.
Yeah. Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Bantam of the Opera. Let's get them all
yeah,
out.
I'm fishing for banter.
All right, I'm done now. Let's go. But yeah, so that's my point on that. It's
fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should they be disgusted? They have the right to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's homophobic if they don't get disgusted, I guess. In a sense, like they're, well, I'm fine with it because I'm meant to be fine with it. It's like,
yeah.
You shouldn't be fine with things because you're told to be fine with things. Have your own opinions.
Yeah. People of the 80s. Oh, dog headbutts Hart in his back, and again he feigns being gay. Hart brushes Adonis's hair, and JYD drags Adonis in. Tug of war, and JYD ends up dragging Jimmy Hart in as well. So he's pulled Adonis in. Hart's holding onto his legs. Hart's got in as well. Dog whips Hart into Adonis, and they tumble over the top rope.
It does look really brutal on Hart.
He does, doesn't it? Because he's got Adonis coming down on top
of him. Yeah, he hits the ringside like really bad.
Yeah.
And then Adonis lands on him. It's like, damn, poor Hart.
And we go to an ad break. Adonis is still on the outside, so that's like 3 minutes on the outside. Should that not be a count out? To be fair, I wish it was, just to end this match. But we get right hands and a long two count until Adonis gets his foot on the rope. A missed falling headbutt, and Adonis covers the ref. Why does he do that?
Because Jimmy Hart ties his leg up.
That's right, yes. As Hart ties the dog's foot on the rope. Thank you very much, Rusty. Adonis then chokes as Hart distracts the ref, and they switch so Hart can get a shot in. So it's good, like, heel.
Yeah, again, yeah. Storytelling's all right, I guess.
One's distracting the ref while the other's getting the shots in. Adonis drops a fist. He chokes the dog until the ref pulls him off by his hair. Why is the ref pulling him off by the hair?
That.
No. Another knee drop for a two count. And Jesse Ventura calls for a reverse bulldog from Adonis. He doesn't do it, but it just seems like everyone's finish is like a reverse of something. So let's take a move that everyone does, put it in reverse, and there's a finish.
Because they're bad guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so like Bizarro and Superman.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like
a mirror of the good is the bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Adonis goes for a pile driver, and as Junkyard Dog's feet go up, they knock the ref down. So Adonis decides that Hart should set up the megaphone. Why?
That surely dangerous weapon.
Where? Yeah, a pile driver.
Get the megaphone.
He whips Dog, who reverses it, and Adonis goes headfirst into it, and Dog gets the three count, 8 minutes and 45 seconds. Far too long of a match for what they should have had.
No, I agree. I mean, it was Adonis's, like I said, first televised.
Debut.
Yeah.
So I don't,
debut.
Yeah, debut, yeah.
Yeah, but he lost, so it's like,
yeah.
Dog chases Hart. Adonis nails Dog with a bullhorn, as I think Vince calls it that, a.k.a. a megaphone. The heels celebrate a defeat, and Adonis throws a tantrum after the official decision, so
Ventura calls JYD a bully, and I agree. Mm. I think he does bully Jimmy Hart.
He does, yeah.
He proper bullies Jimmy Hart. I know Jimmy Hart gets involved and stuff, but he's tiny.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like, pick on him.
No, you don't. That's true.
I want Hogan!
Mean Gene is back at the hospital. He's still outside, but he has a doctor with him. We have injuries to the lower back, the ribs and the neck, but no internal injuries. Somehow, but we will have an x-ray. There's more to come, says Vince, as we cut to an ad break. And we come back to recap, and we get breaking news just in. Hogan is saying that he is leaving the hospital in a matter of hours. More guts than brain, says Jesse. And we cut to another ad break. So it's like they've appeased the fans and said, look, Hogan is alright.
He's not dead.
Yeah,
he's
not dead.
He's going to be fine.
He will be alright. Vince calls it the wildest Saturday night's main event ever. And it's 2 months until the next episode on May 3rd. We have nothing going on in between then, do we?
No, nothing like, I don't know, WrestleMania.
Nothing like the biggest show of the year. Yeah. The second annual WrestleMania.
I know, why didn't you plug it?
No plugs whatsoever. I don't think it gets mentioned.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. At all. There was no mention of it. All he does is hype the next Saturday night's main event. Which, fair enough, they're on NBC, and NBC probably want them to hype the next one.
Yeah,
that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but get WrestleMania in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Make a mention of it. But no, we don't. So Vince signs the show off. By the way, as they are signing off, we get footage of the arena as the fans are, like, filtering out.
Yeah.
Did you notice this?
I did, yeah.
And, yeah, Jesse and Vince, they stand up, take the headsets off, sit down, put them on, stand up, take them off, and leave. But the audio is Vince continuously talking. It's so out of sync. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And that's all we have to say about this episode. Anything to add, you guys, before we get to the analysis?
Well, is this the first one we've ever seen about the hillbillies?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no hillbillies this episode.
Just saying.
Fuck, they could be gone. We do lose a lot of talent after this episode. I will talk about it more at the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So let's get to the best, the worst, the analysis, the MVPs. We haven't done our MVPs either.
Oh. Mm.
So the first gimmick match of the night, it actually had established rules of just a boxing match. So is it a gimmick match?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a gimmick because it's not wrestling.
Yeah, it's not wrestling.
Yeah. No, fair point. What did we think of that?
It was all right.
Yeah.
It was shit. But it served a purpose.
Yeah, it drove a story. Well said.
But that's what you say about everything tonight.
Yeah.
It all drove a story. It all served a purpose.
Yeah.
Which can be a good thing, can be a bad thing. Exactly. But it seemed all right for this one.
It doesn't have to be a great match, a great spectacle, as long as, like you say, it serves a purpose. It happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, we did have one great match.
I am
actually going to call this now. I'm going to call that tag team match as a gem. A genuine gem.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy with that.
Within this series. Yeah. It's a match that doesn't get a lot of hype. Again, I don't hear anybody ever talking about how great the Bulldogs versus the Dream Team on Saturday Night's main event was. But, yeah,
I don't even hear how great the Bulldogs are anymore.
No.
They don't really get talked about as much anymore.
King Kong Bundy is the first man to truly get the better of Hogan.
Battered him.
Absolutely battering, which is a great way to build their Mania match, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
To show Hogan in actual peril for the first time ever, as far as I'm, best of my knowledge.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Bundy?
He's just a big guy who does big things.
The big guy does big things.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
He's probably an appropriate opponent for Hogan.
Yeah.
That's the best way of saying it.
A big monster for Hogan to slay.
Yeah.
Don Muraco looked good in the match.
Yeah.
Against Hogan, yeah.
Probably. Yeah, nothing bad to say about him, yeah.
Is it the best title match we've seen, Hogan? Obviously, he's going to win them all. Is it the best one we've seen?
No, we saw Piper and Hogan.
Yeah.
We saw Funk and Hogan.
Funk and Hogan, to be fair, I think I preferred that, so.
Again, it served a purpose, it drove along the story, it was good to see Hogan get done in for once.
Yeah,
and,
finally.
And then, drive that story that was leading towards Bundy versus Hogan.
Exactly, yeah. It served a great purpose. Bulldogs and the Dream Team, I've already said, is a gem of wrestling. We did say earlier about, if you don't watch anything else, watch the Hogan Real American video, which, fucking brilliant. But watch this match. If you want to see a good wrestling match, watch the Bulldogs and the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Adonis and Dog, was that the fucking junk of the show?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah.
Unfortunately for me, like, I don't like Junkyard Dog. I just don't like him as a wrestler.
You know what? Should have stayed in the closet.
And I'm not overly sold on that gimmick, so.
So he's a lose-lose from both sides, that's what we're saying.
I just kind of like the match a little bit.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart in it.
Yeah, true. Jimmy Hart.
I always appreciate Jimmy Hart.
So, what was the best moment of the night?
Well, we know. We all know what the best moment of the night was. We all know what the best moment of the night was.
After three, should we say it?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Jimmy Hart.
Tag match.
Oh, what? Yeah, the tag match. It was the Bulldogs,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Not just the Bulldogs, but, you know, Valentine as well.
Yeah, not just the Bulldogs, yeah. the both of them.
Yeah, yeah, even Bruce, I was alright with him.
That's it, yeah, for as limited as he is,
yeah.
he looked alright in this match.
Yeah.
The worst moment?
Ooh. It's JYD, man.
Yeah.
It's always JYD. I hate him. I can't stand him. He's a terrible in ring. He's terrible on the mic. I like his music.
Grab them cakes.
That's it. Yeah. And his little dance. That's about it. Yeah. That's all I care about.
No gimmicks. Worst moment?
The Real American video. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Blasphemous. Go on. Worst moment. What is it?
I genuinely quite enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's got to be JYD and Adonis. That's not a main event match.
No, it's not. I agree with that.
Yeah. If anything, that should have been the first match of the night.
If that was the first match, I might have seen the match in a different light.
Yeah.
It was a warm-up match.
Makes it worse that it's the main event.
Yeah, this is the last match the crowd are going to see. Go remembering.
Yeah. True, yeah. It's not ideal. And I've gone with the same thing. That match is my worst moment as well, but I've put down that it wasn't truly that bad. It just happened to be on the best Saturday Night's main event so far.
I think that's fair. It's not the worst. Honest, it's not the worst match I've seen Junkyard Dog in.
No, it's probably his best match, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it just happens to be surrounded by a lot of good matches.
That's it. If you put that match on a different episode, it could have been the best moment of the night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. No, you're right.
Interesting.
Right. MVPs, let's do these quick before we do the challenge. We do have a challenge this week. I've saved it to the end for a reason.
This might be... I'm going to be controversial here.
Yep.
So we've got Dynamite Kid in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we put him in
Wrestling Classic.
We put him after Wrestling Classic, didn't we? But I'm going to put in the first tag team. I'm going to put in Bulldogs.
You bastard. Because I was going to say the Bulldogs. I was going to ask you if we could have... The tag team.
Yeah, Hall of Fame have tag teams in them all the time.
They do.
Ric Flair's been in it twice.
Two-time Hall of Famer. We do have the first two-time Hall of Famer in Dynamite Kid.
Yeah. Right. We haven't got Bulldog in yet.
We do not.
I'm going to go for Davey Boy, purely just to be different. Yeah, otherwise, you beat me to it. I was actually going to say, are we allowed tag teams? Otherwise, I would have chosen Bulldogs.
Okay.
But I'm going to go Davey Boy, yeah.
So Rusty's going for the British Bulldogs as a tag team.
Yeah.
No Gimmicks is going for Davey Boy Smith.
Yeah, just...
I will be honest, I had put Davey Boy Smith down to pair him up with Dynamite in the Hall of Fame. But
yeah, that's
again,
what I'm doing it for.
To be different, I will go for the third man of the match, Greg Valentine.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. To be honest, Valentine was going to be the other one. Just, yeah.
What a good... Oh, poor Beefcake.
Yeah. Poor Beefcake.
This is going to be a good Hall of Fame. This is the first time, right, we've all picked a good pick.
Yeah.
I didn't pick a silly one this time.
That's it, me either. No Pete Doherty. So, let's decide how we're going to get one of these MVPs into the Hall of Fame. Let's do a WrestleMania 2 mini quiz. That is the challenge for this week.
Yeah.
Of course, at the end of this Saturday night's main event and before the next one, WrestleMania 2 happens, despite the fact that there was no plug-in of it in this episode.
Yep.
Silly Vince.
So, I'm going to ask you 6 questions. I expect you to get 4 out of 6.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I think Valentine's going in this week. I'm just saying.
4 out of 6. So let's go straight into it to decide the MVP. Question 1. We know that Mr. T and Roddy Piper had a boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
Who won and how? Was it A, Mr. T by knockout? Was it B, Mr. T by disqualification? Was it C, Roddy Piper by knockout? Or D, Roddy Piper by disqualification? Question 2. How did Hulk Hogan defeat King Kong Bundy? Because, of course, he defeated King Kong Bundy. Bearing in mind, this was a cage match. Was it A, pinfall? B, he escaped over the cage? Was it C, he escaped through the door? Or D, submission?
Shit. I watched this and I remember watching it now as well.
Question 3. Don Morocco took on Paul Orndorff in the opening match of the New York City show of WrestleMania 2.
Because
obviously WrestleMania was in 3 parts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that.
What was the result? Was it a no contest, a double disqualification, double count out, or a double technical knockout?
Yeah, done it.
Yeah, I don't think I got that one right, but sure.
Question four. The Bulldogs won the belts from the Dream Team. So we can all celebrate that.
Yay!
But which British rocker did they have in their corner?
Ooh.
Was it A, Mick Jagger, B, Lemmy, C, Ozzy Osbourne, or D, Robert Plant?
Oh! All right, done it.
I think I know that one.
Number five, Junkyard Dog took on Terry Funk and his brother, Dory Funk, who is known as Hoss Funk in the WWF for some reason.
Yeah.
Who did JYD have as his partner? Was it A, Tito Santana, B, Ricky Steamboat, C, George Steele, or D, Jake Roberts? And the sixth and final question. Adrian Adonis took on a hillbilly, but which one?
Shit.
A, Hillbilly Jim, B, Cousin Junior, C, Cousin Luke, or D, Uncle Elmer?
It has to be that. Yeah, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, that's the six questions.
I think I've done piss poor on this, by the way.
I think I've done moderately, but I don't know if I've got four right.
I think I've got maybe two right. I realise I don't know WrestleMania 2 that well.
No, it's a hard one because it was all over the place.
Yeah.
Literally. Three.
Yeah.
Let's go straight into the results of that. Let's find out.
Yep.
So I want you to give me your answers before I tell you the correct answer, just to avoid any cheating that goes on.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, no, no.
That's fine, yeah. Question one was Mr. T, Roddy Piper. Who won and how?
I said B.
Which is Mr. T by disqualification.
I said B, and I believe it's because Rowdy does a scoop slam. He scoop slams him, and because it's a boxing match, that's disqualification. And the only reason I remember that is because I'm thinking, that must be really hard to do with boxing gloves on.
You got no grip of your opponent, yeah. It is also a correct answer.
Yay.
So that's 1 point each.
I actually remembered something. like that. Actually, I was so pleased with myself for going, I know this.
So Hulk Hogan defeated King Kong Bundy, but how? What answers have you got?
I said C. I said he escaped through the door.
See, I wanted to say C through the door because he did try it a couple of times, but I've gone for B over the cage.
Correct answer is B.
Well done.
Over the cage.
Well done.
Question three was Morocco and Orndorff. So they fought to a draw, but how did that happen?
I said C.
See, I said C because it seemed the most...
You count out.
Yeah, it seemed like the most...
It's Orndorff, isn't it?
Yeah, fucking Orndorff.
He never finishes a match.
The correct answer is C, double count out.
All right, so that's the... By the way, that's the two answers I knew I definitely got right. I knew I had the first one, I knew that one.
It's a tough quiz, this one. Unless you know WrestleMania 2.
Yes, I don't.
Okay, the fourth one was the Bulldogs manager or guest manager of the night.
See, this is... I think I'm wrong on this one now.
What have you put?
I put B. I put Lemmy.
I put Ozzy.
The correct answer is C, Ozzy Osbourne.
Well done, you. That's four, isn't it?
Yeah.
Four.
Oh, he's done.
He's
well
in.
Done.
Unless you catch him up if he gets the next two wrong.
Yeah, I still have a chance of drawing me.
Yeah. Question five is JYD and a partner against the Funk Brothers. Who have you guys gone for? A, B, C, or D?
I went for B, which I believe is Ricky Steamboat.
I put D, Jay the Snake.
So you've got different answers. The correct answer is A, Tito Santana.
All is one, though.
I know, but I'm a bit disappointed now. Yeah, I was 6-6. Yeah. I was really good in for that 6-6.
And the final one was Adonis taking on a hillbilly. Which hillbilly did you go for?
No, this was a complete guess. I went Jim.
It's got to be Jim. It's got to be Jim. Anyone can wrestle.
The correct answer is D, Uncle Elmer.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You know what, right?
I nearly put that and I was like, no, it's got to be Jim.
In my head, I was like, it's either going to be a real match or a gimmick match. And if it was real, it was Jim. If it was a gimmick, it was Elmer. And I went with the wrong one.
Oh, well, I've still got four.
So you know when I said I'd get two, I got two.
You did
very well. I thought
I
was
going
to get three and I've got four.
And
so.
I just didn't know it that well, man.
You was consistent. But that means that no gimmicks needed. Would you like to induct your MVP into the Hall of Fame this week?
This week, I'm going to induct Davey Boy Smith into the Gems of Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, worthy entrant.
Yeah, we're all happy with that.
Worthy winner, thanks.
Worthy entrance.
I'm just going to say, I've surprised myself with my WrestleMania 2 knowledge. Well, I was actually watching more of it than I gave myself credit for.
I wish I watched it now.
Yeah.
When he said, research, I should have checked the matches.
That's all you need to do, yeah. Yeah. So join us next time as we stumble over the halfway line, past WrestleMania 2, and begin a new wrestling year. Roddy Piper and Andre the Giant are to take some time off. But in their absence, I'm sure we will see the rise of some new classic favourites.
Jet Snake.
Yeah.
I had a feeling.
Contact us at facebook.com/gemsofwrestling, where you can like, share and follow all that we do on there.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at gemsofwrestling and on Instagram. Until then, I've been Flemerald.
I've been Rusty Pudding.
I've been here. Oh, sorry, I've been No Gimmicks Needed.
It's the third time he's done that, Jerry.
I know, I like it, though. I can't wait for it now.
Another gem has been unearthed. Millions remain buried. Until the next Cynanx main event, in the words of Jesse Ventura, if you're not good, then it helps to be lucky.
defending my liberty. It's just a change in me, something in my liberty. It's just a change in me, something in my liberty.
I want Hogan!